The Wisconsin Badgers podcast, presented by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is with you again. The Badgers taking care of business on Saturday. 49-20 winners over the Illinois Fighting Illini. Illinois has not been one of the better teams in the Big Ten for some time, and the Badgers taking care of things with a nice showing. 14 points in each of the first three quarters and ran away. Five first half turnovers helping Wisconsin take control, set the tone, and to make sure there would be no drama as the 23rd ranked Badgers now heading into a big battle with Northwestern on the road that is going to be a little bit easier said than done, winning against the Wildcats. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Badgers podcast. We're going to be joined shortly by Jeff Patricus, who's back on the beat. He will talk at length about what he saw in this game at Camp Randall Stadium, a game that kind of had a snowstorm happen in the middle of it and then sort of melted back into pretty regular October weather. It was sort of a strange scene for a moment or two. Badgers playing on the same day as, of course, Game 7 of the NLCS, so a lot of Badgers fans probably paying attention to the Brewers as well, and maybe less so to the Badgers, since this was a game that they probably should have had in hand, and they definitely did take care of it. Again, five first-half turnovers. I mean, Illinois, maybe you don't think of them as a great football team or great football program, but they hadn't turned the ball over. They'd only turned it over five times coming into the game, and then they wind up giving the ball away five times. To the Badgers, it was, I'm a big proponent of big guys with the football, getting the football in their hands. Olivier Sagapolu with an interception, nose tackle coming down with one. That definitely was one of the highlights of that game for me. You also had guys like Chris Orr, Rashad Wildgoose, both came away with fumble recoveries. Wildgoose kind of in the middle of this big storyline with the secondary. So many injuries, so much inexperience with the guys who are kind of stepping in. But with Eric Burrell now, Rashad Wildgoose, these guys are suddenly pretty crucial to what they have going on defense. And they've done pretty well. And Wildgoose, again, with a fumble recovery helping his cause. TJ Edwards and Evan Bondock also got interceptions. Speaking of that secondary, Evan Bondock, a name that we haven't said once on this podcast prior to this week. He has a forced fumble. He intercepts a ball. He has one and a half tackles for loss, five tackles overall. I mean, talk about a star turn for this guy. He suddenly is very much on the map. He's a local product out of Madison Edgewood. So that is definitely something to note. Meanwhile, Andrew Van Ginkel leads the way with six tackles. He's still banged up. He left the game in the third quarter again. He's somebody who's somebody who's been battling injuries all year, so it remains to be seen if he'll be available next week. He had a sack. Zach Bond had a sack. Matt Henningsen had a sack. So the Milwaukee area kids, Zach Bond out of Brown Deer, Matt Henningsen out of Menominee Falls, both getting into the box score that way. And on offense, the Badgers pretty much did everything they needed to do. You had Jonathan Taylor with another huge game, 27 carries, 159 yards, did not get into the end zone. That was Tywan Deal's job, 12 carries, 111 yards for him, two touchdowns. Tywan Deal continues to be a sensational plan B to Jonathan Taylor's plan A, and he's having just a tremendous year now that he is healthy. Saw touchdowns from Aaron Cruikshank. He had a carry for 23 yards. Alec Ingold, three carries, 12 yards, and a score as well. Two completely different styles of running there, both finding the end zone. Both Jake Ferguson and Ingold caught touchdowns as well. Ingold had two catches for 48 yards. Ferguson three times, tight end, three catches, 62 yards. Alex Hornibrook, the quarterback, 13 of 22. Overall, with 188 yards, those three scores, he did have two interceptions. Didn't mention Kyle Penniston, the other tight end, catching the third of those touchdowns. So Penniston, Ingold, and Ferguson all reeling him in from Alex Hornibrook. And the Badgers taking care of business. But very curious to hear Jeff Patricus' thoughts on where the team is headed from here. Big battle with Northwestern coming up. A big battle with Purdue looming in the horizon as well. Now that Purdue is apparently unstoppable against a team as good as Ohio State. They laid down an absolute whooping on Ohio State, 49-20. That was kind of the big storyline from Saturday's college football scoreboard overall. So that's certainly something to think about in the future, but with Northwestern just ahead. Brought in Jeff Patricus, even asked him a basketball question, had the red-white scrimmage on Sunday night, so got a little insight into the Badger basketball team heading into their 2018-2019 season, but that was just one question at the end. The majority of this, of course, is all about the Badger football team. Here's Jeff. I am joined now by Jeff Patricus, Badgers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Jeff witnessed the Badgers taking down Illinois on Saturday, 49-20, in half, I guess, half winter, half normal weather for October in Madison, Wisconsin. I think the biggest storyline, Jeff, coming into the game is the secondary and how it would hold up with the number of missing bodies they have, the number of injuries. What is your assessment of that? It seems like things went okay. Rashad Wildgoose in particular seemed to play pretty well. Eric Burrell, I mean, it seems like they're holding their own with a pretty young group of guys.
Yeah, they were. What was interesting about the Illinois game was that I think most people thought, how would the secondary not defend the pass so much, but how would they be in run support? Because Illinois came in fourth in the Big Ten in rushing at about 229 yards per game, but curiously got away from the run early and started throwing it around, which I would have thought was a mistake under ideal weather conditions, much less the stuff that they tried to throw it against. And their passing game didn't click. There were a couple plays where the run support was an issue, including the 80-yard touchdown run when it went from 14-0 to 14-7 in the blink of an eye. But overall, given the youth, given the constant changing and mixing and matching, and given that Evan Bondoc was basically the number six safety at best in camp, it wasn't a bad performance.
Yeah, Evan Bondoc is a name that I'm sure a lot of Badgers fans did not know until, you know, recently. He gets a fumble, an interception. Where did this kid come from? What is his story?
You know, you had basically seen him play in the spring game or maybe on special teams. I mean, he's a kid, former walk-on from Madison Edgewood. And as I noted, at the end of camp, he was not in the two deep. He was, like I said, probably about the number six safety if you want to go that deep. But given their situation right now, they felt that his experience, he's a fifth-year senior, that he would be in the right place at the right time. And again, he was in position to make plays. He was in a good position to make a break on a ball for the interception. He forced that fumble. He wasn't out of position. The moment clearly wasn't too big for him. So it was an interesting call to start him, and it turned out to be a good call. But he's just a kid who had been plugging away on special teams basically his entire time here, and made the most of his shot Saturday.
Another fascinating turnover, Olivier Segopolu with an interception. They had five turnovers in the first half. Is that a function just of Illinois struggling as a team, or do you think there is a little bit of a renewed emphasis on making some of those plays? Because we've seen where sustained, you know, if the offense is able to stay on the field, they can wear down this inexperienced defense. They're maybe trying now to make things happen a little bit more in the turnover game. Is that an intentional thing for Wisconsin, or is that just them getting the breaks because they were playing an Illinois team?
Well, Illinois came in with only five turnovers all season. To me, it was a function of Illinois trying to throw the ball around too much. I mean, they had three interceptions in the first half. That's a running team. I would love to ask their coaching staff what they saw in Wisconsin's defense that led them to believe that the path to victory for them was to throw the ball. I mean, they even benched their starting quarterback, who was a really good runner and had run effectively early against Wisconsin, to throw the ball. And it just didn't work. And I mean, again, Wisconsin picked its spots when it wanted to throw in those conditions, and actually threw the ball a little bit more once the precipitation ended. I mean, the winds were still an issue. So T.J. Edwards made a really nice play on his pick where he read the eyes of the quarterback. Sagopoulos was being in the right position at the right time. And even Evan Bondoc, there was pressure by Matt Henningsen, and I think he hit the quarterback as he threw, which kind of let the ball float a little bit, which allowed Bondoc or helped him make that pick.
How would you characterize TJ Edwards' role on this team? You hear him talk after games, and he kind of feels like the leader of this defense, and he's certainly made a lot of plays to justify that interception, just another one. How important is he to what they have, especially with so many injuries on that side of the ball?
Yeah, well, he's one of the, if you look at the seniors on that group, it's Olive at the nose. You got Conley, Edwards, and Van Ginkel at linebacker, and then you have Dixon in the back end. And Van Ginkel's been banged up. Dixon did not play again. But I would use Conley and Edwards together because TJ is probably a little more vocal leader than Ryan is, but they're both they lead by example, and because of the youth around them, it doesn't change their roles so much, but it's forced them to try to help very cognizant of the of other guys, the mistakes they might make because of inexperience, and make sure they're aligned properly and things like that. So they've been doing it both in terms of producing on the field and making big plays, and just trying to help bring some younger guys along as well.
Andrew Van Ginkle, again, leading the team in tackles, despite the fact that he is still pretty limited and left the game in the third quarter, I believe, with an injury, once, of course, the game was kind of getting out of hand. How close do you think he is to being 100%? Is he ever going to be 100% this year? And, I mean, obviously they get a lot of production even when he isn't, but is it a case where he could still, you know, he's just going to be a little bit limited as the season wears on?
Well, it's going to depend on how seriously he aggravated the injury. It was on the final play of the third quarter where he made a tackle. Last week was the first week since the injury, which occurred against BYU, in which he was able to practice every day during the week. And they thought he really looked good. And I talked to him. He said that it's still limited in a little bit in terms of how quickly he could cut and change directions when he's going after a quarterback or trying to make a play in the backfield. But he was active in that game, and you know, we'll see this week whether or not he's questionable for the game and how severe that injury was.
On the offensive side of the ball, there were a couple hiccups, a couple interceptions, but Jonathan Taylor was his usual self, 159 yards rushing. And I'm curious about the passing game. We haven't really checked in with the passing game in a while, and now that you've had a lot of games to see them in action, do you think it is really missing that Quintez Cephas element, or are there other things that are kind of keeping it from really, really having a breakout game? I mean, you're seeing bits and pieces. Jake Ferguson certainly has done well, but there hasn't been really that breakout moment. We haven't seen too many breakout plays from guys like Danny Davis, Pryor, A.J. Taylor. How would you evaluate the passing game at this point?
I wouldn't attribute it to the absence of Cephas, because if you remember, he missed the last five games last year. And I thought, if you look at the numbers, Davis, Taylor, and Pryor all elevated their level of productivity in his absence. And then you had Troy Fumagalli as well. I think there's been, you know, Danny Davis wrote about this last week, that he's had an interesting season, a tough season, in that you missed the first two games because of suspension. You come back, so you've got to feel your way back. It's been a long time since you played in the game. He did some good things, but he's been kind of up and down a little bit. Hasn't made the big plays that I think he would like to. And I talked to a couple of his teammates about that. He's got the potential of having to testify at Cephas' trial, who's his buddy and his roommate. So we're not allowed to talk to Davis, but as I talked to a couple of his teammates, they agreed that, you know, that's not an easy thing to have to juggle with school football. So I imagine Danny's got a full plate mentally. I think that's hurt. Pryor's been solid. Taylor's been carrying that unit. Jake Ferguson has been not a pleasant surprise. He's been good. But, for example, against Michigan, Michigan had the athletes to not negate him, but probably prevent him from making some of the big plays he had in other games. For example, against Iowa, where he did a better job. Iowa's linebackers couldn't really contain him, whereas Michigan's guys can. So, it's been sputtering. Some of it's been protection. Some of it's been the quarterback not being accurate, not having his feet set. But it does have another level it can get to. I thought Davis played probably his best overall game Saturday against Illinois. So it would be interesting to see how he can come on down the stretch here.
And Taiwan Deal, man, I mean, as backup running backs go, or second string running backs, however you want to refer to him, that guy is awesome, or at least has had an awesome year. I'm guessing it was just a case of him needing to get healthy to be to this point, but has he surprised you in the way that he's been so effective as the change of pace to Jonathan Taylor?
No, because he's running exactly as he did in camp, and, you know, health has been his obstacle. I mean, it's been ankle injuries. I mean, he missed last season. He had off-season ankle surgery after the Cotton Bowl. Came into camp last year, felt really good, looked good, took a blow on that same ankle, and it cracked it open again. He had hardware in there, had to go back in, have surgery, and that caused him to miss the whole season. But when he came to camp this year, actually, he looked good in the spring. He looked really good in the spring, had a hamstring injury late, but the ankle was fine. And when he came to camp, exactly the type of runs that he's making that fans are seeing now, those are the type of runs he was making in practice. So he's doing exactly what he did in camp.
The Big Ten, the face of the Big Ten, was given a jolt when Ohio State was absolutely crushed by Purdue. You had mentioned this on the podcast, and then again you tweeted it out, that that game when Wisconsin travels to Purdue is obviously now not going to be an easy walk in the park by any means. What did you see out of that game or any of the games in the Big Ten that maybe can inform you about what's still to come for this Badgers team?
Well, first of all, this week's going to be an interesting week in the Big Ten West. You've got Wisconsin, Northwestern going to head-to-head. You've got Purdue going to Michigan State. And then you've got Iowa at Penn State. So I'm really curious to see who's left standing at the end of the night. Does one team win and the other two contenders lose? Do all three win? Do all three lose? And basically we're still at status quo. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. And Purdue, they struggle early. They've been getting better. They have some playmakers on offense. Their defense, though, is the one that took the biggest personnel hit in the offseason. I believe 10 starters they had to replace. And they had a really salty defense last year, one that battled Wisconsin in a 17-9 game in Madison. But their defense has improved. They've got arguably the best freshman in the Big Ten in wide receiver Rondell Moore, who just destroyed Ohio State. And I thought in seeing parts of that game, not every play, I thought their offensive staff did a better job than Ohio State's defensive staff, because they got more in space pretty much anytime they wanted. And it was funny to watch that, because Ohio State could not handle Moore and some of the other guys. They couldn't handle Purdue's speed. And you don't often say that about an Ohio State team, especially on defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And not to discount what comes up next week in Evanston, because that's a tough matchup, of course, as well with Northwestern. Clayton Thorson's one of the more experienced quarterbacks in this league, and certainly he's going to present some challenges in the passing game. How do you think Bucky stacks up with this, especially with this patchwork secondary? How do you feel like they stack up against Northwestern?
Well, it'll be interesting. You've got to see who they're going to have healthy in the back end. Do they get Dakota Dixon back? Now, he was not wearing a boot on the foot that he injured against Nebraska late. Wasn't wearing one Thursday when we came in to talk to Paul Christ. Wasn't wearing one Saturday at the game. So you're guessing maybe that's a sign that he may be close to being able to give them something. But the keys are, do they get Scott Nelson or Reggie Pearson back at safety? Now, the thing about Northwestern is, the last 4 years they've been riding Justin Jackson. Their running game, Northwestern's running game, is pretty much non-existent this year. Thorson against Nebraska, I think he passed 64 times. He's got about four times of at least 35 passes per game this year, maybe four or five. So they've really had to rely on him a lot. Now, he has not lit up Wisconsin in the games he's played. He's only completed about 56% of his passes. Four touchdowns, two picks. He's been sacked 11 times. Eight of those came last season. It's not a great line, not a really good running game. So I'll be curious to see how much pressure Jim Leonard tries to put on Thorson, or whether he plays coverage and says, you're not going to beat us over the top. We're going to make you drive down and complete short passes.
I'm going to shift gears on you real quick before I let you go. Talk a little bit about Wisconsin Badgers basketball. They're creeping closer and closer to the tip-off of their season. We've had a Big Ten media day already. Maybe what's one or two storylines that you're really paying close attention to? Obviously, their long streak of NCAA postseason appearances snapped last year. But what is the one or two things you really are going to focus on as we head into Badger basketball season?
Well, the first thing was to touch base with guys like Davison, King, and Trice. Davison obviously made it through the whole season, but was not sound, had that shoulder surgery right after the end of the year. Trice and King were limited to 10 games before their seasons were shut down because of injury. All three are healthy. Davison looks really good, being able to play with both arms. Trice is stronger, and his ability to run the point will let Davison play off the ball. King, he was the... Of the guys coming back from injury, he was cleared for full contact the latest of the three, not till about June or July. So he's still trying to round into form. It's been a long time since he's played in the game. But he is going to give them, in my opinion, a guy who can score from the perimeter or attack the basket, a guy who can really defend because of his athletic ability and length. They're going to have a lot more options. They should this year in terms of versatile lineups, more guard. They can go small. They can go big. And another guy I think to watch is Brevin Pritzel. We talked to him today after the red and white scrimmage, and he dropped about 15 pounds after last year, built his body back up by adding 10 pounds of muscle. He looks really good, really confident. So more flexible, deeper, and I don't think you can put a measurement on how much the way last season played out annoyed those guys and how much it will drive them this year.
He is Jeff Patricus. You can read all his material at jsonline.com, covering the Wisconsin Badgers football and basketball team. Next week, it's Northwestern, a trip to Evanston, and what is sure to be another pretty compelling contest. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you.
Thanks to Jeff for joining us again. We will join you again next week after the Badgers take on Northwestern. A reminder that if you just look for us on wherever you get podcasts, you'll be able to check us out. Apple Podcasts, the primary place. Leave a rating, leave a review, let us know what you think. Feel free to give feedback to me on Twitter as well, at J.R. Radcliffe. That's J.R.R.A.D.C.L.I.F.F.E. I love feedback. I love people letting me know that they enjoy the show, enjoy the podcast, and even if even if they got something negative to say, let me know. I'll happily give a listen to that and see what we can do about addressing it. You can also find us at Google Play, Stitcher. I believe we're on Spotify now, so we're moving up in the world. You can find us in any place where you typically get your podcasts. We should be there. For Jeff Patricus, I'm J.R. Radcliffe. Thanks for joining. We will chat again very soon. Take care.